Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman, memory of Ram Goldhar, and today Mezekos Yuma Daf Chav Gimel, the second parak Barishona. So the three drops we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yehotzadak, Kol Talmud Chacham she'enu nokim v'noter kanachash enu Talmud Chacham. Any Talmud Chacham who does not take revenge or bear a grudge like a snake is not a true Talmud Chacham. Now the Gemara objects to this based on the prohibitions of Osikam Vositor, do not take revenge or bear a grudge, and initially answers that these prohibitions only apply to monetary matters. This too is challenged based on a brice that teaches, and now loving vein and olvin, those who suffer insults but do not insult in response, shomin cherpasin vein and meshivin, who hear disgrace but do not reply, osin ma'ava smechim yisurin, who perform Hashem's will out of love and are happy even in suffering. Regarding them, the pasuk states, lo havav ketzetz Hashemish begvorosav, and those who love him, referring to Hashem, shall be as the sun going forth in its might. So how then can Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak insist a Talmud Chacham take revenge? The Gemara answers, actually, he means that a Talmud Chacham should keep the matter in his mind. Rashi explains that if someone else comes to avenge his honor, the Talmud Chacham should be silent and not object. Pointing to the Mishnah brought in the incident where one kohen shoved another kohen while racing up the ramp to merit doing the Trumas Adeshin. The Gemara here brings up Bryce of the Tod that there was another incident when one kohen was ahead on the ramp, another kohen, Natal Sakin Vataka Belibo, took a knife and drove it into the other kohen's heart and killed him. Rabbi Tzadok stood on the steps of one of the halls of the temple and cried out rebuke to the people, bring them to tears. The father of the slain boy then came and found his son still writhing on the floor and said, Hari Kaparaschem, behold, he is your atonement. My son is still writhing, and therefore the knife did not become tame. This comes to teach you, Shekasha lehem taharas kelim yotzim mishpichus damim. They regard the tahara of kelim more seriously than murder, as it's written, Begam dam nakin shafach menashe harbe mo'od, adishir miles yushalayim pelopet. Menashe also shed very much innocent blood until he filled Yerushalayim from end to end with it. And point number three, the Gemara brings a machlokas regarding Hotzas Adeshin, removal of the ash from the Mizbeach. It was taught in a Braisa, Upashat, V'lavish Begadim Acherim, V'Hotzias Adeshin. He shall remove his garments that he wore for separating the ash, and don other garments, and he shall remove the ash. Now one might have thought the Kohen can wear Big Dechol when removing the ash. Therefore the Torah teaches that Upashat is Begadav, V'lavish Begadim Acherim. He shall remove his garments and don other garments. By repeating the word begadim, we can derive a hekesh that just as the garments worn for the Trumas Adeshin are big day kodesh, so too are the garments worn for the removal of the ash. The word acherim, other, implies that they should be pachusimehen, inferior quality to the ones worn from the Trumas Adeshin. Rabbi Yezer says, acherim vahotzi. The word other is immediately followed by the words, and he shall remove, which refers to the kohen who performs the task. This teaches that even blemished kohanim, acherim, are qualified to remove the ash. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak, Kol Talmud Chacham she'enu nokim v'noter kanachash eno Talmud Chacham. Any Talmud Chacham who does not take revenge or bear a grudge like a snake is not a true Talmud Chacham. The Gemara objects to this based on the prohibitions of Osikam Vositor, do not take revenge or bear a grudge, and initially answers that these prohibitions only apply to monetary matters. This too is challenged based on a brayso that teaches, and now loving vein and olvin, those who suffer insults but do not insult in response, shomin cherpasan vein meshivin, those who hear disgrace but do not reply, osim ma'avav smechim b'yisurin, who perform Hashem's will out of love and are happy even in suffering. Regarding them, the pasuk states, v'ohavav ketzetz Hashemish b'vroso, and those who love him, referring to Hashem, shall be as the sun going forth in its might. So how then can Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak insist a Talmud Chacham take revenge? The Gemara answers, Lom denakkli b'libe. Actually, it means that a Talmud Chacham should keep the matter in his mind. Rashi explains that if someone else comes to avenge his honor, the Talmud Chacham should be silent and not object. Pointing to the Mishnah brought an incident where one kohen shoved another kohen while racing up the ramp to merit doing the Trumas Adeshin. The Gemara here brings a brayso to the Tod that there was another incident. When one kohen was ahead on the ramp, another kohen, Natal Sakin Vataka Belibo, took a knife and drove it into the other kohen's heart and killed him. Rabbi Tzadok stood on the steps of one of the halls of the base of Migdash and cried out, Tochacha, rebuke to the people, bring them to tears. The father of the slain boy then came and found his son still writhing on the floor and said, Hari Kaparaschem, behold, he is your atonement. My son is still writhing, and therefore the knife did not become tame. This comes to teach you, Shekash Alem Taharas Kalim Yosem Shvichos Damim. They regard the Tahar of Kalim more seriously than murder, as it's written, Begam dam naki shafach Menashe harbe ma'od, adishir miles Yerushalayim pelopet. Menashe also shed very much innocent blood until he filled Yerushalayim from end to end with it. And point number three, the Gemara brings a machlokas regarding Hotzas Hadeshin, removal of the ash from the Mizbeach. He shall remove his garments that he wore for separating the ash, and don other garments, and he shall remove the ash. Now one might have thought the kohen can wear big dechol when removing the ash. Therefore the Torah teaches, upashas begadav, v'lavash begadim acherim. He shall remove his garments and don other garments. By repeating the word begadim, garments, we can derive the hekesh, that just as the garments worn for the Trumas Edeshin are big dechodesh, so too are the garments worn for removal of the ash. The word acherim, other, implies they should be pachus mehen, inferior quality to the ones worn from the Trumas Edeshin. Rabbi Yezer says, acherim v'hotzi. The word other is immediately followed by the words and he shall remove, which refers to the kohen who performs the task. Limit al kohanim bali mumin shekasherin wahotzi adeshin. This teaches that even blemished kohanim, referred to as acherim, others, are qualified to remove the ash. All right, so now we go to simur daf chav gimon. Our standard simon is a keg. A keg. So here goes. The loyal congregant stood on a keg, planning to avenge his rabbi's honor who had been insulted. When he saw one kohen murder another one on the ramp, in front of a kohen balmum, removing the ash. Once again in slow motion. The loyal congregant stood on a keg. Keg? That must mean one daf chav gimel. The loyal congregant stood on a keg, planning to avenge his rabbi's honor, who had been insulted. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadeh, Kol tam l'chokhem she'enu nokim enotek anachash, enu tam l'chokhem. Any tam l'chokhem who does not take revenge or bear a grudge like a snake is not a true tam l'chokhem. The Gemara objects to this based on the prohibitions of Vosikam Vositor, do not take revenge or bear a grudge, and initially answers that these prohibitions only apply to monetary matters. This too is challenged, and the Gemara answers, Lom denakle belibe, actually means that a Talmud Chacham should keep the matter in his mind. Rashi explains that if someone else comes to avenge his honor, the Talmud Chacham should be silent and not object. So the loyal congregant stood on a keg, planning to avenge his rabbi's honor who had been insulted. When he saw one kohen murder another one on the ramp, which reminds us, the Gemara brings another incident when one kohen was ahead on the ramp, another kohen took a knife and drove it into the first kohen's heart and killed him. When the father of the slain boy came and found his son still writhing on the floor, he said, Hari kaparaschem, behold, he's your atonement. My son is still writhing, and therefore the knife did not become tame. This comes to teach you, Shekashalem Tars Kelim Yos Meshvichus Dami. They regarded the Tara of Kelim more seriously than murder. As it's written, Menashe also shed very much innocent blood until he filled Yerushalayim from end to end with it. So the loyal congregant stood on a keg, planning to avenge his rabbi's honor who had been insulted, when he saw one kohen murder another one on the ramp in front of the kohen balmum, removing the ash. Which reminds the Gemara brings the Malchukas regarding Hotzas Adesh and removal of the ash from the Mizbech. It was taught in a Braisa, he shall remove his garments that he wore for separating the ash and don other garments, and he shall remove the ash. One might have thought the kohen can wear big day chol when removing the ash. Therefore, the Torah teaches, he shall remove his garments and don other garments. By repeating the word garments, we can derive a hekesh, that just as the garments worn for the Trumas Edeshin are big day kodesh, so too are the garments worn for removal of the ash. The word acherim, other, implies they should be pachusim mehen, inferior quality to the ones worn for the Trumas Edeshin. Yezer says, acherim behotzi, the word other is immediately followed by the words, and he shall remove, which refers to the kohen who performs the task. Limit al kohanim bali mumin shekashen lohotzi adeshin. This teaches that even blemished kohanim, referred to as acherim, the others, are qualified to remove the ash. So once again, the loyal congregant stood on a keg, planning to avenge his rabbi's honor who had been insulted, when he saw one kohen murder another one on the ramp in front of a kohen balmum, removing the ash. All right, now it's time for a four-blot bat chazora. Daf Yotes. So the simur Daf Yotes is a yacht. So here goes. The yacht passengers. Yacht. That must mean run Daf Yotes. The yacht passengers who sailed around the temple courtyard, which reminds where Papa said the Kohen Gadol had two chambers, the Lishkas Bar Hedrin, where he stayed, and the Lishkas Beis Avtinas, where he went ahead to do Chafina of the Ketores. Where Papa didn't know which one was in the north and which one was in the south, and concludes the Lishkas Bar Hedrin was in the south, because if it was in the north, it'd be a big tircha for the Kohen Gadol to walk around the Azor in the morning to go to the mikveh, and then do the same after his immersion at the end of the day. The Gemara rejects Rav Papa's proof, saying, we purposely burden him more than necessary, so that if he's a tzeduki, he'll not seek the position. Alternatively, even if he's not a tzeduki, we burden him shol tazuk daitolav, so that he shouldn't become haughty on account of his position. So the yacht passengers who sailed around the temple courtyard were so horrified when they saw a battered, dead Kohen Gadol dragged out, which reminds us. The Gemara brings an incident of a tzeduki Kohen Gadol that brought Ketores into the Kodesh Kodashim while it was burning on the coals. One version of the story has this tzeduki, proud of his accomplishment, died a few days later and thrown into a trash heap, and worms crawled out of his nose. Another version relates that he was smitten on his way out of the Kodesh Kodashim while he was still in the Kodesh, for Bechiah taught in a braisa which states that some sort of sound was heard in the Azara, indicating that a malach had come and struck him on his face. And when the Kohanim went to investigate, they found a mark like the sole of a rounded foot between his shoulders, which is a sign he was smitten by a malach, since the sole of their feet are like the sole of a rounded foot. So the yacht passengers who sailed around the temple courtyard were so horrified when they saw a battered dead Kohen Gadol dragged out that they made sure to only speak Torah the rest of the trip. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, "Vidibarta bam," and you should speak of them, referring to words of Torah, "bam yeshachal rishos ledaber," you have permission to speak of Torah matters, but not of other matters. Rashi explains that this excludes worthless matters, such as idle chatter of children and kalos rosh. Rabbi Yochanan said the pasuk says, "Aseosun keva v'altasim arai." Make Torah matters a fixture in your life and do not make them a temporary occupation. Rava said, "Hasach sichas chulin over ba'ase." One engages in trivial conversation, transgresses a positive commandment, as the pasuk implies, "bam v'lo b'dvar mecherim," of them, but not of other matters. Dav Chaf. So the similar Dav Chaf is a cafe. So here goes, Cafe 364 Cafe. That must mean we're on Dav Chaf. Cafe 364, which reminds us, on Daf Yud Tes, the Gemara taught that the Kohen Gadol was kept up all night, and a brice was brought that in the provinces they used to remain awake the night of Yom Kippur, Zeichu and Mikdash, as a commemoration of the practice found the base of Mikdash, El Shayu Chotin. However, in a certain place, they would sin during the night. Rashi explains that instead of learning, they spent time in the company of women, which led to sin. On this Daf Abai, and some say Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, the brice is referring to Nardah. For Eliyahu said to Rav Sela the Chassid, "You always say, why is Mashiach not come, and on the holiest days, a number of virgins were bed in Nardah?" So if you'd asked Eliyahu, what Kosh Baruch Hu says about this? And Eliyahu replied, he says, "Pesach chatas rovetz." Sin crouches at the door. Rashi explains that the Yetzer causes man to sin. Yehuda then asks what the sun says, and Eliyahu replied, "The Satan Yom Kippur has no permission to prosecute." Rami Bar Chama said that this is derived from the fact that the gematria of Hasatan is 364. On 364 days of the year, the Satan has permission to prosecute, but Yom Kippur, which is the 365th day, he has no permission. So Cafe 364 had a famous rooster that crowed so loudly at opening time, which reminds the next Mishnah states, "Laisa kriyasa gever magas ad shahaisa azor molei Yisrael." And on the Chagim, even before the call of the gever arrived, the azor was filled with Jews. Rashi explains that the people arrived early with their karbanas to bring them as soon as the tamid had been offered. There's Malchokas Amarayim regarding the meaning of kriyasa gever. Rav said kara gavra means the call of a person. Rashi explains there was an officer in the base of Mikdash whose duty was to announce to the Kohanim and Levim that the time for the avodah had begun. Rabbi Shiva said, "Kara Tarnagola," it means the call of a rooster. So Cafe 364 had a famous rooster that crowed so loudly at opening time that it blew out the ears of the Roman crowds gathering outside under the ball of the sun. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, "Shalosh kolos hochim esofa olam ad sofa." Three sounds travel from one end of the world to the other end. They are the sound of the ball of the sun, the sound of Roman crowds, and the sound of the neshama when it leaves the body. Some say the sound of birth as well, a sunset. And some say the sound of Ridja, which was the sound of the Malk in charge of rain. The Rabban beseeched Kosh Baruch Hu for mercy concerning the sound of the soul when it leaves the body, Ubatalua, and they eliminated it. Dav Chafal, so the similar Dav Chafal is a car, a ka. So here goes. The flying ka, ka, that must be more Dav Chafal. The flying ka that took an unauthorized trip over the temple, where miracles occurred and trees of gold were planted, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that lists 10 miracles that occurred in the base of Mikdash. The Gemara challenges the Mishnah, suggesting there are more than 10 miracles. Rabbi Levi said, the following statement is tradition passed down to us from our fathers, Makam Aron, Eino Min Amida, the space taken up by the Aron is not included in the dimensions of the Kodesh Kodashim. The Gemara answers that the Tanna listed only the miracles that were visible outside and thus publicized. When the Gemara then asks why the fruit trees of gold that Shlomo Melech planted that miraculously brought forth their golden fruits at their appointed time were not included, the Gemara answers, Nisa de Kaviyah lo kachashi, miracles that were permanently fixed in the temple were not included. He only listed miracles that were performed recurrently. So the flying ka that took an unauthorized trip over the temple, where miracles occurred and trees of gold were planted, crashed into a pillar of smoke, which reminds us two of the 10 miracles listed were that rain never extinguished the smoke from the maracha and that the smoke never dispersed, no matter how strong the winds were. The Gemara questions whether, in fact, there was smoke from the maracha based on a brisa that taught that five things were stated regarding the fire of the maracha. It crouched in the shape of a line, it was clear as the sun, it had substance, it consumed moist articles just like dry ones, and ve'ena mala ashen, it didn't produce smoke. The Gemara answers that the smoke referred to in the list of miracles was from the fire that was brought by the Kohanim, for it was taught in a brisa, the Torah states, "Benasnim b'nei Aaron ha'kohen eish ha'mizbech," the sons of Aaron ha'kohen shall place fire on the mizbech. "Afu b'she eish yoretz min ha'shamayim," mitzvah havi min ha'hedyot, even though that fire comes from the heaven, there's a mitzvah to bring fire from ordinary sources. So the flying ka that took an unauthorized trip over the temple where miracles occurred and trees of gold were planted crashed into a pillar of smoke and got consumed by six types of fire. which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa, Shesh Eshosen, there are six types of fire. The Braisa explains, there's a fire that eats but doesn't drink, which is ordinary fire, which consumes solids and not liquids. It drinks but doesn't eat, which refers to the fire of ill people, which makes them thirsty but not hungry. It eats and drinks, which refers to the fire of Eliyahu, which licked up the water in the trench in the incident with the Nevi'e Abal. It consumes moist articles like dry ones, which refers to the fire of the Maracha. Yesh Esh Doche Esh, there's fire that repels fire, which is the fire of the Malach Gabriel. Yesh Esh Ocheles Esh, and there's a fire that consumes fire, which is the fire of the Shechina, referring to Hashem, burning up the fiery angels that argued against the creation of man. Dav Chav Beis, so the Simmer Dav Chav Beis is a cab. So here goes. The early morning cab driver, that must be more Dav Chav Beis. The early morning cab driver whose cab was packed with Kohanim, racing to do the Trumas Edeshen, which reminds the Gemara, why did the Rabbanim not depend on casting lots to select the Kohen for the Avodah of Trumas Edeshen? The answer is that at first the Rabbanim thought that since the Trumas Edeshen is a nighttime Avodah, it would not be considered important by the Kohanim, and they wouldn't come to quarrel over it. But once Rabbanim saw that the Kohanim fight over the matter, Takinu L'Paisa, they instituted casting lots for the position. Others explain that originally the Rabbanim thought that Kevin De'eka Odin Shena, since at the time the ashes are separated, before daybreak, there's an overwhelming desire to sleep on the part of many people, the Kohanim will not volunteer for this service. When they saw that they did come, and it led to Sakana, they instituted the pious. When the Gemara challenges this answer, since burning the limbs and fats is done late at night, when there's a desire to go to sleep, yet Kohanim were selected by lots, the Gemara answers that a person's inclination to go to sleep is not as strong as his inclination to stay sleeping and not wake up. So the early morning cab driver, whose cab was packed with Kohanim, racing to do the Trumas Edeshen, counted his passengers by their shovels. Which reminds us, the Mishnah taught, in the case that two Kohanim race up the ramp and reach the top at the same time, a temple appointee would have the Kohanim put out their fingers for a count to see who would be selected to do the Trumas Edeshen. The Gemara asks why they didn't simply count the Kohanim, and answers that the Mishnah supports Rabbi Yitzchak, who taught, Asalimnos es Yisrael, afil dvar mitzvah. It's forbidden to count Jews through a head count, even for the purpose of a mitzvah. As it's written regarding Shaul counting his shoulders, he counted them with potsherds. Rav Ashi says, the limb of the pasuk, and Shaul had all the people summoned, and he counted them through lambs. Rav Elazar said, Kol amonos Yisrael over belav, whoever counts Jews transgresses a negative commandment. As it's written, Vayam misbarg b'nei Yisrael kocho hayam, hasho yamad. The number of b'nei Yisrael will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, he transgresses two loving men. As it's written, will yamad, will yisaper, which cannot be measured or counted. So the early morning cab driver, whose cab was packed with Kohanim, racing to do the Trumas Edeshen, counted his passengers by their shovels, and bet that the Kohen with flaws in his yichus would be the winner. Which reminds Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel, why did the Malchus Beis Shaul not endure? Because there was no flaw of yichus in his family. Rashi explains that the kings destined to issue from him would therefore rule arrogantly. David's Malchus endured because he was descended from Rus, who was from Moab. This explanation is based on what Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak, we do not appoint a leader of the community unless he has a box of creeping creatures hanging behind him, meaning he has flaws in his yichus. So that if he becomes arrogant, we can say to him, turn around and see what is behind you. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which of the 10 miracles occurred recurrently in the base of Migdash and were visible to the public? That's on Duff. Chafav. Good number two. Which of the one is forbidden to count Jews? That's on Duff. Chabez. Good number three. Which of the one, the two of the three sounds that travel from one of the earth to the other is the ball of the sun and the sound of Roman crowds? That's on Duff. Chaf. Good number four. Which of the Malkos, Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar, whether a Kohen Baal Mum can do the Ahotzas Hadesh and the removal of the ashes? That's on Duff. Chav Gimel. Good number five. Which of the one that there are six types of Eish? That's on Duff. Chafav. Good number six. Which of the Malkos where the Kriyas and Geber refers to a rooster or the one appointed in the base of Migdash to call to the Kohanim and Levim to begin their work? That's on Duff. Chav. Good number seven. Which of the one it's best to appoint a leader over the community that has a flaw in his Yichus? That's on Duff. Chabez. Good number eight. Which stuff we learned that the Yetzor has no permission to prosecute in Yom Kippur, which is derived from the gematria of Hasatan, which is 364. That's on Duff. Chaf. Good number nine. Which stuff we learned that the pillar of smoke from the Maracha was never extinguished by rain and was never dispersed by the winds. That's on Duff. Chafav. Good number ten. Which stuff we learned about the incident where one Kohen murdered another while racing to be Zocha to do the Trumas Edeshen. That's on Duff. Chav Gimel. Excellent. That concludes the Bob Quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.